إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. I was thinking today, as there are, alhamdulillah, many classes in the masjid, and I'm seeing that many of the people are striving to increase their knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, that we wanted to take a chapter from the chapters of the Kitab al-Ilm by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And that is a chapter from the chapters of the Book of Knowledge from Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in this chapter he says, بَابُ الْعِلْمُ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ وَأَنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ هُمْ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ من أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر ومن سلك طريقا يطلب به علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة وقال جل ذكره إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء وقال وما يعقلها إلا العالمون وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير وقال هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه وإنما العلم بالتعلم وقال أبو ذر لا وضعتم الصمصامة على هذه وأشار إلى قفاه ثم ظننت أني أنفض كلمة سمعتها من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل أن تجيزوا علي لأنفذتها وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما كونوا ربانيون حكماء فقهاء ويقال الرباني الذي يربي الناس بصغار العلم قبل كباره. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, chapter knowledge before statement and action. In accordance to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, I command you to have knowledge that indeed no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. So he began with knowledge, al-ilm. And the ulama, or the people of knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. The prophets left as their inheritance al-ilm, or the knowledge. So whoever gets it, gets a large portion. And whoever treads a path desiring in that path ilm, or knowledge, then Allah would make it easy for him the path to Jannah. And Allah, magnificent be His remembrance, He says, indeed the only people who fear Allah from His servants are the ulama, or the people of knowledge. And Allah, He says, and none of them understand it except the people of knowledge. Meaning none of them understand the parable set by Allah except the people of knowledge. And Allah says, and they say, if we would have listened and understood, we would not have been from the companions of the fire. And Allah says, are those who have knowledge like those who don't know? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever Allah wants good for, he gives him an understanding of this deen. And indeed, knowledge is acquired by seeking knowledge. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, if you were to place the double-edged sword on this, and he motioned to his neck, and I thought that I could get off a word that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said before you would cut my head off, I would have said that word. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, I advise you to be Rabbaniyun, Hukama Fuqaha. I advise you to be Rabbanis, wise and people of understanding. And it is said that the Rabbani, he is the one who grooms the people on the smaller knowledge before the larger knowledge. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in this chapter, he doesn't do as he normally does, and that is that he brings a chapter title, and then he brings different hadith in that title. But Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he brings no narrations in this chapter, but he only leaves a chapter title. And subhanallah, this chapter title that you've just heard is sufficient enough for us, inshallah ta'ala, if we take a deeper look into it, inshallah ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he says, knowledge before action and before statement and action. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, here in his statement that knowledge precedes statement and action, meaning that your statements will not be accepted. And your actions are no good and useless until they're based on ilm. And ilm is knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they said that this statement of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, knowledge is before statement and action, is even stronger than saying knowledge precedes the niyyah. But knowledge precedes the niyyah and the statement and the action. Everything must be based on Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything that you intend to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, you must have knowledge of it. And whatever you intend to say or do, you must have knowledge of it. And this is what Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he's saying as he uses as his evidence the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I command you to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah. No one can be Muslim until he bears witness to La ilaha illallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands everyone who bears witness or who likes to bear witness to this statement to have knowledge of this statement that he's bearing witness to. And this knowledge is from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the most important phrase that everyone is going to say in their lives. Rather, this is the reason that the books were revealed to the prophets, and this is the mission that the prophets and messengers were sent with, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on their tongues, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٍ مَا يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٍ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongues of His prophets and messengers in the Quran, O my people, worship Allah. No God has the right to be worshipped but Him. This is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His prophets and messengers with. And that this message, it has to be preceded by ilm, or knowledge, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah is explaining to us in this chapter, as he says, Allah began with ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with ilm. That the people are to be called to this phrase of La ilaha illallah, but they have to have knowledge of it, and this is knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, and the ulama, they are the inheritors of the prophets. The prophets left as their inheritance ilm. And whoever gets it has gotten a large portion. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he makes this statement here. And this statement, in fact, is a hadith. And there's a discussion amongst the ulama whether this hadith is authentic or not. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he didn't say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. And that shows that he has some question concerning the authenticity of this hadith. And some of the ulama say that it has in fact has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and others say not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as there's a discussion around the chain of narrators of this statement. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he quotes this statement without saying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it. As the ulama, they explain that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he's making this statement, even though he didn't say the Prophet ﷺ said it, to show that maybe there's some basis in Islam for this statement. And that is that the people of knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. Meaning the people of knowledge, they take the place of the prophets in the absence of their prophets. In the absence of the prophets. And that is because they have inherited from the prophets what the prophets left behind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His last prophet and messenger to humanity with this statement, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O humanity, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His last prophet and messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last prophet and messenger to humanity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decreed to take the soul of His last prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and raise him to the Rafiq al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left His deen intact and preserved. And that is with the statement of Allah ta'ala, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have perfected for you your deen and completed my favor to you and have chosen for you al-Islam as a deen. This deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed and perfected and chose for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this deen until yawmul qiyamah with this statement, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Indeed, we are the ones who sent down this revelation and indeed we are the preservers of it. And the ulama, they say that the revelation, it refers to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved, it refers to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam with the statement, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not speak from his own desires, but he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. Or the likes of the statement of Allah ta'ala, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and remember Allah's favor to you. Remember Allah's favor to you. That ni'mah, this ni'mah of al-Islam. And what Allah has revealed to you from the kitab and the hikmah. The kitab, the Qur'an. And the hikmah, the sunnah, of which Allah advises you with. So the kitab and the sunnah is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's all been preserved. And in the after the death of the last prophet and messenger sallallahu wasallamu alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the people of knowledge to inherit from the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam this complete inheritance of knowledge. As the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't leave money and wealth behind for the people to inherit after him, but he left the knowledge of Allah's book and of His sunnah for the people of knowledge to take this, and whoever has taken this, then they have gotten a large portion, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if this hadith has been authentic. And the Prophet, and Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, and whoever treads a path, seeking in that path knowledge, then Allah would make easy for him the path to Jannah. And in fact, this is the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih, where he makes the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says. So this statement that Imam al-Bukhari, he mentions here, and oftentimes he mentions statements, and he might say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, or he might not say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said. And in the first case, as we have mentioned, and in this case, some of the ulama, they say that Bukhari rahimahullah, he might make this statement because the hadith is not on his level of authenticity that he wanted to place in his Sahih Bukhari. So he might leave the statement as a statement, or he might say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. But we're saying, as it's been authentically collected by Imam Muslim in the Sahih, the statement that whoever treads a path seeking knowledge in that path, and Allah will make easy for him the path to Jannah. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, as he's doing in this whole chapter, he's starting to quote some of the virtues and the benefits of seeking this knowledge. Seeking this knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he's showing you firstly that nothing is going to be accepted until you have knowledge. Nothing is going to be accepted until you have knowledge. Your niyyah, your statements, your actions, they won't be accepted until you have knowledge. Rather, your shahada of being a Muslim will not be accepted until you have knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he shows that this knowledge is so virtuous that the people who hold this knowledge, that they are holding the position of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their absence, by carrying that which they have been sent with to the people. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation, the kitab and the sunnah of his last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever treads this path, then Allah will make it easy for him the path to Jannah. This path to paradise, the path to the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the muttaqoon, then Allah will make it easy for you to go to this path if you have knowledge. Because you have to do certain deeds in order to be entered into Jannah. And if you have no knowledge of Allah's book or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you won't even know how to get to Jannah. And the ways to Jannah are easy, walhamdulillah. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith also collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, من مات وهو يعلم أن لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies and he says لا إله إلا الله sincerely in his heart. Or in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies and he knows, or he has knowledge of La ilaha illallah, then he enters into Jannah. So even this statement of La ilaha illallah, it will allow a person to enter into Jannah. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ says in one of the other narrations, Man kana akhiru kalamihi min ad-dunya, La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes his last statement of this world, La ilaha illallah, he enters into Jannah. But you don't know what to say if you're dying, if you have no knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this knowledge is so virtuous that it will make it easy for you to enter paradise. And this is why we're trying to encourage the believers to sit in the classes and to learn this knowledge, because this will make it easy for you to achieve the goal that you're striving for, and that's to be entered into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by correctly worshipping Him and fulfilling your purpose in life. The purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you when He said, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, and Allah may his remembrance be magnificent, he said, the only people who fear Allah from Allah's servants are the people of knowledge. Meaning you can't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be feared. You cannot have the khushu' and the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you have knowledge. Because you have to have knowledge of how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
when you have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and that He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik Al-Quddus, Al-Salam Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar, Al-Sami' Al-Basir. When you start knowing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Shadeedul Iqab. And when you learn these beautiful names and lofty characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're able to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be feared. And the people who do not give Allah His proper estimation, then they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be feared, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And they haven't given Allah His proper estimation, and this allowed them from fearing Allah and worshipping Allah as He ought to be feared and worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is only Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah beginning to quote a few of the many ayah that praise knowledge and the people of knowledge, as we see in this ayah. And then Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that Allah ta'ala, he says, and no, none of them understand it except the people of knowledge. And none of them understand the examples and the parables that are mentioned in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book except the people of knowledge. Some people are reading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and it's not going past their throats, or it's not going past their collarbones, as it comes in some of the narrations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning they're reading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the words are coming off of their tongues and out of their mouths, but the words are not sinking into their hearts. And they're not having a good meaning and understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. And because of that, it's not being implemented in their body parts. They don't have the correct aqidah. And they don't have the correct statements on their tongues. And they don't have the correct actions with their body parts, because they read the book, but they're not understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, because the only people who understand are the people of knowledge. And we're going to go to the end of the statement where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, and acquiring and seeking knowledge is, or gaining knowledge is only by acquiring it. And we'll get into that a little more when we come to that statement, inshallah ta'ala. Then Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they say, if we would have listened and understood, then we would not have been from the companions of the hellfire. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's giving us a scene of regret on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is the regret of the people who had no knowledge and no understanding. That they're going to say on that day, when they become from the companions of the blazing flame, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the blazing flame. On that day when they become companions of the blazing flame, they'll say, if we would have only listened. Listen with the type of listening that it goes in your ears and enters into your hearts and your minds. And not the type of listening when it goes in one ear and out the other ear. And we would have understood with the type of understanding that benefits you. And sometimes you hear and you understand, but it doesn't benefit you. Like when people call you away from wrong and you do the wrong anyway. Why are you drunk? I know it's not right, but as some of the drunk people, they tell you, you say, look at you. He say, yeah, I'm a mess. Don't do what I do. He knows, but his understanding didn't benefit him. And this is the way, and this will be the same way of the people of the hellfire. They heard this message and they understood it because of the clarity and the simplicity of this message of Al-Islam, but they didn't listen and understand with the type of listening and understanding that you listen and understand to let benefit you in your lives. And because of it, they'll be from amongst the people of the hellfire. And this is also a hint or a motion to us that when we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, it's not just for us to parrot on our tongues. Or to say if someone says, do such, I know I'm supposed to grow my beard. I know I'm supposed to do this. Or I know I'm supposed to do that. If you know what you're supposed to do, then why don't you do it? If you know what you're supposed to do, why don't you do it? As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعْلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقَوْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Hateful in the sight of Allah is that you say what you do not do. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the nations that came before us, and this is an admonition for us also, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Are you the ones who enjoin the people to righteousness, and you forget about your own selves, and you read the book? Don't you have any sense? And then don't you have the type of sense that's going to benefit you? If you read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if you're being taught the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why doesn't it affect you and make you from amongst the righteous? Why don't you practice what you preach? Why don't you practice what you know? And if you don't practice what you know, you're going to be in a rough spot on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is only praise for the knowledge that's understood and practiced. And this is from the statement of Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, the encouragement for knowledge, and that is knowledge that is coupled with actions and not knowledge that is parroted off our tongues only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he says, that Allah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوُ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And it comes in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوُ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he just brings the part of the ayah, those who know, are they like those who don't know? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, say, are those who know like those who don't know? And this is a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, and for us to say to ourselves, are those people who know like those people who don't know? And Allah is saying that rhetorically. And of course, the people who know are not like the people who don't know. Rather, the people who know are better than the people who don't know. The people who know are better than the people who don't know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are those who know equal to those who don't know? No, those who know are better and above those who don't have knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says this more explicitly in His statement, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadilah, Allah has raised those from amongst you who believe and have been given knowledge in degrees. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Imam Muslim, I think, or it's authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُوا بِهِ آخَرِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, indeed Allah will raise people by this book and He will humiliate or lower other people. And the Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who narrated this hadith on the Prophet ﷺ, he said this to the people who blamed Umar radiallahu anhu as he placed an ex-slave as a governor over one of the areas. And they say, Ya Umar, you couldn't find anyone except the ex-slave to be in charge of us? And then Umar radiallahu anhu said he memorized Allah's book. And indeed I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, indeed Allah will raise some people with this book and humiliate and lower others. And this is from the virtue and the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in this world and in the hereafter from the people who have knowledge of His book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ. That whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him a fiqh. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he narrates this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other places in his sahih with the fuller statement of مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him an understanding of this deen. And this is always what is understood by this word ilm, or knowledge, that is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and not of the affairs of this dunya. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim and his tariq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of worldly affairs and ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. And here the Messenger of Allah, if we understand his statement, as sometimes it's always questioned, are you saying that being a doctor is no good? And are you saying that being an engineer is no good? And are you saying that being a computer scientist is no good? Or being a carpenter is no good? Or electrician? Yes, it's no good if you have no knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because your purpose and the purpose of those who came before you is to worship Allah Ta'ala, as Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O humanity, I command you to worship your Lord who created you and created those who came before you so that you may have taqwa, so that you may fear Allah by doing what He commands and staying away from what He prohibited. What good is it if you're a doctor on kufr? What good is it if you're a carpenter on kufr? Your skills of engineering won't enter you into Jannah. Your skills of computer science won't enter you into Jannah. What will enter you into Jannah is knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and actions that go along with it. And this is how you know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a person, if He gives them the knowledge of this deen. And oftentimes we understand that Allah wants good for people if He gives them this dunya. Like if you see someone who's wealthy, you say, MashaAllah, Allah has blessed the brother. Why? Because he has some money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and favors you and wants good for you when He gives you knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say if He give you money, then He wants good for you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oftentimes He gives this money to lead the people astray. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He says, I'm forgetting this ayah. Can I just check that? This is in like many ayahs in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala book, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He blames oftentimes the people who have been given money, as the likes of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He says, and leave me alone with the one who denies this hadith, referring to the Quran. I will gradually set him up where he doesn't know, and I will give him some time. Indeed, my plot is strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives people money and gives them this dunya until they think that everything is okay, and then He snatches the rug up from under them. So having wealth or money or status in this world, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored you. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He shows that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, He gives you a knowledge, He gives you knowledge of this deen. And then if you have knowledge, if you have wealth, there's no harm with having wealth if you use your wealth in obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And in our case, we know nowadays often the people who have wealth have been tested more than have been favored. As Allah Ta'ala He says, وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah has made buying and selling or trade permissible and riba haram. Who are the people in riba? The poor people can't even get riba. As you have to qualify for the haram, and you qualify with your wealth. If you're wealthy, then they give you riba. So nowadays, most of the wealthy, they don't know how to get out of riba, as they're so tied up in this interest and usury that they know no way out of it. How are the people going to be considered blessed if they're strangling and drowning in their own disobedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, knowledge is only acquired by seeking it. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajr, he explains that in fact this is an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ تَعَلَّمُوا إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْفِقْهُ بِالتَّفَقْهُ. أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, where he says, O humanity, I command you to seek the knowledge, because knowledge is only acquired by seeking it, and gaining an understanding is only acquired by seeking that understanding. And this is an encouragement from the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to acquire the knowledge of this deen by going out to seek it. You can't sit around and think that the knowledge is going to just drop on your head out of the sky somewhere, but you have to come to the people of knowledge and come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjids, and sit and patiently learn ayah by ayah or hadith by hadith, or subject matter by subject matter, until you learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And whoever learns, he understands that this path of learning is all the way until he dies. even though it has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the statement that many people say, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. This is a statement that the ulama say have been fabricated on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, some of our Salaf al-Salih, they used to make the similar statement, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And this has been authentically narrated on some of the people of knowledge. And we hope that this meaning is an encouragement and a sign to show the people that no matter how much knowledge you have, that there's more knowledge to learn. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَفَوْقَ قُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And above everyone who has knowledge is someone who has more knowledge than he does. And in this case, this ayat is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, if you were to place the double-edged sword on me, as we had narrated the story before, where Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he was there at the Jamratul Wusta, there during the time of Hajj, and he was making fatwas for the people as the people were around him asking him questions about this deen. And then someone stood over him and said, didn't the Amirul Mu'mineen prohibit you from giving fatwas to the people? And Abu Dharr, he looked up at the man and he said, are you a raqibun alayya? Are you a watcher over me? And then he made this statement, I swear if you were to put the double-edged sword here. And he motioned to his neck. And I thought I can get off something that I learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before you cut my head off, I would have said it. And this statement shows from Abu Dharr that no one can prohibit the people of knowledge from teaching Allah's deen, Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this case, it was the Amirul Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the rightly guided Khalifa, Dhun-Nurayni, the one who married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not at the same time, but he married one, and then when Ruqayya died, then he married Kulthum radiallahu anhum ajma'een. This is the most shyest person of this Umar, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But he has no authority, as Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying, that he has no authority to keep the people quiet when they're teaching Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they say it was as if Abu Dharr is being reminded of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Preach about me even if it's only one ayah. And this is an obligation for the believers to preach what they know of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no one can stand in the way to stop that. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he's saying here that even if I had to give my life, if I thought that I could teach the people before I would be killed, then I would teach the people what I know of this deen before they would kill me. And this is only to show the importance of propagating this deen and not holding back this knowledge. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he warns the people of knowledge with his statement in the authentic hadith, مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنْ عِلْمًا فَكَتَمَهُ يُلْجِمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِلِجَامٍ مِّنْ نَارٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That whoever has been asked about some knowledge, some ilm, and then he hides it, then Allah would give him a bridle of fire on the day of يوم القيامة, to prevent him from, if he was prevented from opening his mouth to teach Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, then he'll be prevented from opening his mouth with the bridle of hellfire around him on yawm al-qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, be rabbaniyun hukama fuqaha, meaning be Rabbanis and be wise and have an understanding of this deen. And this is, okay. And this is a statement to all of the people, no matter what your field is, no matter what your career is, no matter what your color or your race or your country is, everyone should strive to be a Rabbani and to be wise and to have knowledge of this deen, because this is what will benefit you. And then he went on to say, rahimahullah, Imam al-Bukhari, he says that it said that the Rabbani, he is the one who grooms the people on the small knowledge. And the ulama, they say the small knowledge is the simple, clear knowledge of this deen before the big knowledge, or the intricate, detailed, big issues of difference of an opinion, that the Rabbani, he works on the smaller, clearer issues first before he gets into the big, deep, detailed issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I was hoping that this talk, inshaAllah ta'ala, that it would be an encouragement for myself and the believers to seek the knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this advice from the great Imam, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. But I also thought that this talk would be a lesson to me and the believers to teach us the correct methodology of seeking knowledge and the correct methodology of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the methodology or the manhaj of our Salaf al-Salih. And that is adherence to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the way of the Sahaba and the people of knowledge. This is the way or the methodology that we learn and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon. And this is the methodology that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he exemplifies here in this chapter, as he begins with the statement of Allah Ta'ala. And then he quotes ayats showing the importance of knowledge and the virtues of the people of knowledge. And then he goes on after that to quote hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he ends it up with the statement of two of the Sahaba. And then he even ends it up at the end to say, even explaining the statements of the Sahaba, it is said, meaning that people of knowledge say. And this shows that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he held on to this manhaj, or to this methodology of our Salaf al-Salih. And that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he taught it, and he called the people to Allah's book, and adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and taking and treading the path of the Sahaba, and the people of knowledge. And whoever wants to gain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, then let him know that the methodology that he should be upon is learning Allah's book, and learning the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and learning the statements and the ways of our Salaf al-Salih from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the Ulama of this deen. This is the way that we learn this deen, and this is the way that we worship this deen. As Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says in his book, كَيْفَ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ عَالِمًا, or whatever the title of that book is, how does a person become a scholar? Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he shows what a person should study. And then at the end, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, after you study all of this, you don't worship Allah on anything except the methodology of the Salaf. Meaning Allah's book, adherence to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way of the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the Ulama of this deen. There's been a lot said about Islam, but what is correct is what is mentioned in Allah's book, and that which has been authentically reported on this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it was understood and practiced by the Sahaba, who passed it on to the Tabi'un, and then who passed it on to the Tabi'een, who passed it on to the scholars or the Ulama of this deen. This is what you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon, as this is the correct methodology, and all of the Ulama, they agree that this is the safest way to learn and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon. And rather, the ulama say that what is correct is to say that it's not only the safest, but it is the wisest way to understand and learn and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon. This is what I wanted to present this evening, to be an encouragement for us and to be a clarification to us that the correct methodology that all of the believers should be upon is the manhaj of our Salaf al-Salih, and that is adherence to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of the Sahaba and the people of knowledge of this deen, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he explains it to us in this chapter. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there were any questions or comments on this chapter. We'll take a couple minutes for that now, inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Yes. No. No. The brother is saying that the knowledge of this deen is wide and vast. And if a person's shahada is not going to be accepted until he has knowledge, then what is that knowledge? That knowledge that a person must have that will make him safe is the knowledge of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. If a person has knowledge that he should not die and that he should only live bearing witness to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, he's safe. And then everything else he adds on top of that is, like we say, gravy. As was in the case of one of the men who came to fight in one of the battles with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam asked him, did he take his shahada? And he said, no. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, we don't fight with the mushrik. We don't, لن أستعين بمشركين على المشرك. Or, لن أستعين بالمشركين على المشركين وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That I do not to practice anything except the shahadatain and fighting jihad fi sabilillah. If a person understands that he must not live and die except bearing witness to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, then this is sufficient for him, and everything else on top of that is gravy, and it's an obligation to get that gravy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the authentic hadith, inshaAllah, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. And rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, I command you to have knowledge that no God has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So this obligation of seeking knowledge is on every Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. And Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond his capability. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah as much as you're able to. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا نَهِيتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I prohibit you from something, then stay away from it. And if I command you to do something, then do it as much as you have been, as you have the ability to do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands us to gain knowledge of His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an obligation on each and every Muslim. But it starts off with the knowledge of the shahadatain, firstly. And then he starts to build on top of that. As we know that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, qala, أرسل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذا إلى إلى اليمن فقال لمعاذ رضي الله عنه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب فلتكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وفي رواية عبادة إلى عبادة الله وفي رواية أن يوحد الله. And these narrations have been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ, where he told Mu'adh when he sent them to Yemen, indeed you will be coming across a people who are Jews and Christians or Ahlul Kitab. So let the first thing that you call them be the Shahada of La ilaha illallah. Or one of the narrations, to the worship of Allah. Or one of the narrations, to establish the Tawheed of Allah. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لِذَٰلِكَ فَأَعْلَمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهُمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, then if they obey you in that, then teach them that Allah has made as an obligation on them to perform the 5 salah a day. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, he makes it clear that you're going to focus on that shahada. Then if you get that, then you're going to add on and like that. So what's important for a Muslim is to get the shahada. In another hadith, the Messenger of Allah, one of the men came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّي لَا أَخُذُ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قُلْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. A man, he said to the Prophet ﷺ in this authentic hadith, Ya Rasulullah, can't memorize no Qur'an. I can't memorize anything from the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ told him, say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So even when the people start the salat, if they don't know all of the salat is a lot. Next, the rest of Islam, just learning the dua al-istiftah, even next, before even getting to the salat.
knowing what type of water you can use for the wudu, and then learning what breaks your wudu, and then learning how to make the wudu, and then learning what are the times of the salat, and then learning the salat. Now subhanAllah, there's many things in this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden us all beyond His capability. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Inna ad-deena yusrun wa lan yushada hadha ad-deena ahadun illa ghalabahu walakin saddidu wa qaribu." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in the authentic hadith of Bukhari and others, "Indeed this deen is easy, and no one will overdo it except that it will overtake him. But do your best to be correct and do much of this deen as you can." Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam intends by a statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there are any other questions or comments around this. Yes.
I heard you speak about one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed his wealth, and that because that he has not blessed the other one with wealth, it's not because that Allah has not favored him, but Allah has blessed when he gives the one he meant. What kind of nasiha can you give to one to a person who has been blessed with wealth, so that he can feel a little bit more comfortable about accepting the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given?
The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wealth to, it's on that person to be thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is al-Razzaq. Allah is the provider. And the wealth is the wealth of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And he has to understand that this was by the decree and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and blessing upon him and giving that wealth. He needs to understand that firstly. And then he needs to be just as eager as the rest of the Muslims need to be about seeking the ilm or the knowledge of this deen, so that he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. And then, as many of the ulama, they encourage, and this is the encouragement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the same hadith, that after they learn the salat, then teach them that the wealth of the rich should be taken from the wealthy and given to the poor. So if he's wealthy, he has to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested other people with poverty, and they are the responsibility, and they are the responsibility of the wealthy, that they must take care of the poor. And this is the poor who are not strong and healthy. This is the poor who are not strong and healthy, as we become lazy. And let's not mistake the poor, meaning the lazy. Some people are bums. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being from amongst them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be an encouragement for the people not to be lazy bums. But some of the Muslims, they're lazy and they're bums. And they don't want to learn, and they don't want to work to earn a living for themselves. And they think that they are the responsibility of the wealthy. The responsibility of the wealthy are for those people who have or been misfortunate, and they don't have the ability. And some of the people aren't blessed with strength. They might have bad health, or they might not be blessed to be wise, even though they went to school, what have you. They just might not be bright enough, or that they may have a lot of children. Or maybe they were burnt out of their homes. Or maybe, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests, whoever He tests from His creation, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. But those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested in these cases, like the weak from amongst the women and the children, then the wealthy, it's their responsibility to take care of them. And also it's the responsibility of the wealthy to promote and support Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. As it was during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the main way that the people were supporting and defending this deen was by jihadun fi sabilillah. And oftentimes the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, whoever supports this army financially, then for him is Jannah. And then the people would say, "I'll support him, Ya Rasulullah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam would say, "He has Jannah." And this is the case or the position of the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with wealth. Then it's for them to support and defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Nowadays we haven't been fighting much jihad. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen nowadays is going to be promoted by supporting and defending the people of knowledge. And then helping them to write books and magazines and newsletters, and to helping them giving lectures and lessons, and to support them to propagate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, as nowadays this deen is basically being propagated by way of the voice or the pen of the people of knowledge. And it's important that the people have wealth, that they're supportive of the people of knowledge, so that the people can receive the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the people who have inherited from the people of knowledge. And of course it's going to be, and to be a little more specific in this case, of the people of knowledge and the lands of the Kufar, where Islam is new and growing and beginning to spread, is going to be the responsibility of the wealthy to finance the establishment and the spread of Islam in whatever capacity it requires, whether it's for building masjids or building Islamic schools or building da'wah centers or building publishing companies or whatever the case might be, then this obligation will go on the wealthy people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with wealth, as it's their responsibility to be good, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been good to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there was anything left around this chapter of Imam al-Bukhari. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.